Top stories this hour. WikiLeaks founder says the whistleblower website plans to release more U.S. military documents on the Afghan war. Firefighters struggle to control Russia's wildfires as protesters demand Moscow mayor's resignation. Thousands face travel chaos after Britain's airport workers vote overwhelmingly to strike. And a man suspected of killing 5 and 20 stabbings in the U.S. is arrested trying to board a flight to Israel.
It is 6 p.m. in Washington, D.C. and 2:30 a.m. in Kabul, Afghanistan. This is Press TV's World News.
Many thanks for joining us this hour. Well, the whistleblower website WikiLeaks has promised to release around 15,000 more secret U.S. military documents on the war in Afghanistan.
Indeed, now that announcement comes despite a demand from Washington to return thousands of files already released. WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange has said preparations are underway to release the files. The Pentagon says it has identified the 15,000 documents. It says the so far undisclosed documents are even more explosive and sensitive than those released by WikiLeaks. Last month, the website leaked over 70,000 secret American reports that showed the U.S. has been falsely claiming progress in Afghanistan. Washington has been seeking ways to take legal action against WikiLeaks, but it has failed to come up with any proof that the website has broken any laws. On to some other news now. Wildfires in Russia are approaching the country's main nuclear research center in the central city of Sarov.
Overwhelmed and under-equipped, firefighters are struggling in vain to bring the fires under control. They say the blazes are impossible to put out without planes and helicopters. Now, having no aerial assistance, firefighters are digging up the earth around the burning forest to keep the flames from spreading. There are fears of radiation if the fire reaches the nuclear site. The wildfires have devastated Russia for weeks, the worst to hit the country in decades. Meanwhile, in Moscow, police clash with hundreds of people staging a rally against the government. The protesters accuse the mayor of mishandling the situation and demanded his resignation.
The authorities are brazen, extremely brazen. These authorities have discredited themselves. We are demanding the resignation of Lushkov and calling for popular elections.
Britain's airports are facing chaos in the busy late summer period. This comes as firefighters, engineers and security staff employed by airport operator BAA unanimously voted for strike action over a pay dispute. The walkout could shut down Heathrow, the world's busiest international airport, as well as five other British airports. The dates of the walkout have not been decided yet, but BAA says it hopes the union will negotiate a solution to prevent the strike from going ahead. BAA's traffic has been already hit this year by strikes at British Airways, the largest airline in the United Kingdom. Well, an Israeli man suspected of killing five people in a spree of 20 stabbings has been detained in the United States.
Well, the arrest took place in Atlanta as the man tried to board a flight on its way to Tel Aviv.
The agencies continue to work together to bring this case to a successful conclusion. As more information is solidified, additional information will be released. I can tell you that I'm comfortable in saying that the vehicle has been located and is in custody of law enforcement. And beyond that, I'm not going to comment.
Well, the serial stabber tried to get on the plane using an expired passport. He's wanted in three states for randomly attacking innocent people. Almost all of his victims were African-American. Police say Elias Abu Elzam asked for directions from the victims and then viciously attacked them. All the deceased victims are from the state of Michigan.
Hundreds of people in eastern Afghanistan have protested against the alleged death of Afghan civilians at the hands of U.S. forces.
The Americans have attacked our people and occupied our soil. We don't want them. They martyred three students.
Well, the protesters say American soldiers stormed a house in Wardak Province's Sayed Abad district. They say U.S. forces killed three brothers and then took their father into custody. But NATO rejects the claim. It says several suspected militants were killed. A U.N. report released on Tuesday says over 1,200 Afghans have been slain in the first half of this year. The report blames a quarter of the deaths on foreign forces. In other news, a Congress-appointed panel in the U.S. says American taxpayers may have been shortchanged.
Well, the Congressional Oversight Panel says Washington's decision to pour in billions of dollars into the economy back in 2008 supported foreign firms as well. Now, the panel appointed by Congress to oversee the so-called TARP payments under then-President George W. Bush says billions in TARP money ended up in 40 foreign firms. It also revealed that the greatest beneficiaries of the U.S. bailout plan were France and Germany. Among the other countries that benefited from U.S. taxpayers' money are Spain, Italy, and China. The panel has urged the U.S. Treasury to start to report more data about how TARP and other rescue funds flowed internationally.
You're watching the World News here on Press TV. A quick reminder of our top stories this hour. WikiLeaks founder says the whistleblower website plans to release more U.S. military documents on the Afghan war. Firefighters struggle to control Russia's wildfires as protesters demand Moscow's mayor's resignation. Thousands face travel chaos after Britain's airport workers vote overwhelmingly to strike. And a man suspected of killing five in 20 stabbings in the U.S. is arrested trying to board a flight to Israel.
Well, still to come in the next half of the bulletin right here on Press TV, we'll tell you how Iranians are celebrating the beginning of the holy month of Ramadan. Stay tuned.
Lebanon's Premier Saad Hariri has called for a thorough investigation into alleged evidence that links Israel to his father's assassination back in 2005. The newspaper As-Safir reports that Hariri says the information presented by Hezbollah is very important and sensitive. The Lebanese Premier reportedly underscored that it cannot be ignored. He's also reported to have said that Hezbollah's view on his father's assassination is held by many Lebanese. On Monday, Hezbollah Secretary General Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah presented footage allegedly showing Israel monitoring late Rafiq Hariri's movements prior to his assassination. Hezbollah's release of the information comes as a UN tribunal investigating the killing prepares to publish its findings.
In Britain, four police officers are to be charged with assaulting terror suspect Babar Ahmed as they arrested him in 2003. Now, all four officers are members of the Metropolitan Police's Territorial Support Group. They will appear in court on September the 22nd. They arrested Babar Ahmed after raiding his home in South London in 2003. Ahmed suffered a number of injuries during his arrest, including heavy bruising to the head, neck, wrists, and feet. In March last year, the Metropolitan Police paid €60,000 in damages. Now, the move came after lawyers for one of the officers admitted that Ahmed was the victim of violence. Ahmed remains imprisoned in the UK. This is the European Court of Human Rights has halted his extradition to the United States, where he's wanted on terror charges. Pakistan's president is under growing criticism over his response to the devastating floods in his country.
Well, this comes as Asif Ali Zardari has flown to flooded areas for the first time to see the scale of the disaster. Zardari visited a refugee camp in Sindh province. He reassured people there that the government is doing its best to resettle victims of the floods. On Wednesday, the UN appealed for almost $500 million in foreign aid. The global body says it will take billions of dollars to get agriculture in Pakistan back to normal. The floodwaters are flowing southwards from the country's northwest. They've destroyed hundreds of thousands of homes and displaced millions of people over the past 2 weeks. And more than 1,600 people have been killed so far.
The pro-independence leadership in Indian-administered Kashmir has rejected New Delhi's offer of political autonomy. They claim such measures will not help solve Kashmir's problems.
Most of the pro-independence groups in Indian-administered Kashmir have rejected Indian Prime Minister Manmohan Singh's offer of political autonomy for their state. The senior pro-independence leader Syed Ali Shah Gilani said people of Kashmir are fighting for independence and not autonomy.
Jammu and Kashmir is not part of India. This is a disputed territory. And the people of Jammu and Kashmir should be given right to self-determination so that they will decide their future. This is the basic demand of the people of Jammu and Kashmir.
Singh's offer to grant Kashmir political autonomy came after the recent anti-India protests in Kashmir, which have left dozens of civilians dead. He has said that New Delhi will consider any consensus proposal for autonomy as long as it does not violate India's constitution. The Indian Prime Minister also announced the creation of a panel of experts that would draw up a job plan for Indian Kashmir, where rampant unemployment, especially among young people, is fueling the already deep resentment against Indian rule. However, chairman of Huriyat Conference Mirwais Umar Farooq said Kashmiri opposition to Indian rule ran far deeper than the issue of unemployment.
In the last 20 years now, if you look at it, I mean, more than 100,000 people have died. And those people have died for a cause. They have not died for economic packages. They have not died for government jobs. They have not died for subsidies. And that is what we need to tell the Indians very clearly and categorically, that you cannot subjugate the aspiration. You cannot subjugate the will for freedom as far as the new generation in Kashmir is concerned.
But the call for independence is not shared by all political and ethnic groups in the state. The autonomy is the main demand of the ruling National Conference, the state's biggest pro-India political party. In three resolutions, the United Nations Security Council and the United Nations Commission in India and Pakistan recommended a plebiscite should be held to determine the future alliance of the entire state. To date, the government of India has refused to reconsider the possibility of holding a plebiscite in Jammu and Kashmir. Meanwhile, a day of normalcy returned to the Muslim-majority region as Muslims of Kashmir observed first day of Ramadan, the month of fasting for Muslims. The people of Kashmir say they expected some extraordinary remarks from the Indian Prime Minister, particularly after the deaths of dozens of civilians in the past weeks. They believe, unlike what Indian officials insist, their struggle for independence is not a mere frustration because of bad governance. Shahana Bhatt reporting for Press TV in Indian-administered Kashmir.
Well, Iranians celebrate the beginning of the holy month of Ramadan, during which Muslims fast from sunrise to sunset. The holy month changes lifestyles in all Muslim countries, including Iran. Press TV's Amir Mehdi Kazmi reports from Tehran.
The lunar calendar displays the first day of the holy month of Ramadan in Iran, inviting millions of Muslims to fast and to join what is known as God's feast. During Ramadan, Muslims refrain from eating and drinking from dawn till dusk. The aim is to purify their souls and bodies by fasting, worshipping, and helping those in need.
The holy month of Ramadan is a remarkable opportunity for people to distance themselves from the troubles of everyday life and to adapt a spiritual and modest life. We stop eating during the day. We will understand what it feels like to be poor, and this is one of the social aspects of fasting.
While restaurants and eateries are closed until sunset and markets are low, mosques are filled with worshippers. Even those who occasionally attend mass prayers show a colorful presence. One of the reasons for this special attention is that verses of the Holy Quran are sent to Prophet Muhammad during Ramadan. Charity organizations in Iran receive most of the donations during this month. Muslims believe that Ramadan is the best time to ask God's forgiveness. They donate as much as they can. To them, it is a month of blessing.
I've personally experienced that our deeds come back to us. So every time we do something good for someone, we can feel the blessing of that in our lives. This felt even more during Ramadan because in this month, we're the guest of God.
In Iran, business is not as usual during Ramadan. Many shops, businesses, and even government organizations limit working hours, sparing more time for fasters to worship and to rest. But for those involved in selling goodies special to this holy month, there is a hot market. Bakeries and confectioneries usually have specialties, which are hard to find during other months of the year.
To the Muslims, fasting is not just refraining from eating and drinking. It is also a practice of self-restraint. It is distancing themselves from whatever keeps them away from worshiping God. And practicing this for an entire month, and also trying to remain that way for the rest of the year. I'm your Mehdi Kazemi, Press TV, Tehran.
Well, with that, we come to the end of world news here on Press TV. Don't forget to log on to our website, presstv.ir, for more details on these stories and a lot more. The website being updated every minute as we speak. For those of you on the move, you can always watch us live or listen to audio streaming on presstv.ir. Scrolling down, you can always participate in our My Vote section. We would love to hear your opinion. And you can also check out the details on how to SMS us your comments and feedback. That and a lot more on presstv.ir.
World Cup winner Spain faced Mexico in a friendly international in Mexico City. The latest with Sheena in Sports International.